morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the Wise Guys, and we're so glad to have you here and have you be a part of the conversation. And in here with the studio with me is I have Rick and I have Gus.
Gus, welcome back. Well, I was captured by pirates and made to work as a slave for days and days.
Whoa. Main thing is you're back.
I'm back.
You're free.
Yes.
Happy day.
He's a free slave?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a free slave. Speaking of slavery, we have a topic today that we think you might enjoy, hopefully, or you might turn us off right away.
Are you a slave to being PC?
What is PC?
PC.
Well, let's ask Rick.
PC.
Rick is the oldest one here. I wonder if Rick knows what PC is.
What do you say, Rick?
I'm going to go with that political correct kind of word.
Political correct? I always think it was pretty
political
cool.
Correctness.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. It's cool. Well, no, I don't even think it's cool.
But it could be actually pretty clueless in our
pretty
current
clueless
situation.
Too also, yes.
I like pretty clueless. That's good.
You know, politically correct.
Politically correct in an environment that's right now, we're in politics right now. It is voting day today.
Yes, it is.
Is this D-Day? Is this the end of it? You got to do it by today?
It's the end.
Tonight, the end we will there. Have a little better idea than we have right now.
A little better idea of what?
What our Heavenly Father's plan is. And, you know,
I love that.
Because I don't, you know, however it comes out, I just, hey, if it goes the other way, like we don't want it to go, hey, we're just getting closer to the kingdom.
Either way, we are, aren't we?
We are, but I'm saying, you know, it's just going to be interesting, isn't it?
It is. Now, this is just a United States thing, right? So our international listeners.
This is our international.
You can watch from afar or tune in later.
Yeah, but I think the topic itself is pretty cool because we're all ruled by governments. We're all slaves to governments, right?
Yep, that's true.
We all have to work within the confines of what the government has given us to work within. So whether or not you're in the U.S. or if you're in Australia or if you're in China or somewhere else, hopefully this show, this conversation will actually talk to you about how to deal with being politically correct within your state of being.
Oh, or do we even want to be?
Yeah.
Politically correct. What's that mean? Maybe we can change, since the definitions kind of change and these things morph over time, maybe we can kind of change it in a way.
Yeah. And do we, as his people, do we need to be politically correct?
That's a good question.
Do we?
That's a good question.
Do we need to be? I'm not so sure we do, but we have to be, of course, loving and respectful. But as far as doing it the way, you know, because I really believe political correctness, what does that begin to do? It kind of begins to have us put a check on our mouths for what we know to be true.
Well, maybe we should define what politically correctness is first.
Oh, do you have a definition there?
And actually look at it and see if we're – you know, because different people have different points of view towards that. It could be towards social issues is politically correct. It could be towards government issues.
Yeah, all kinds of different.
And I know college kids look at it differently than we might look at it.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, so there has to be something that gives, you know. But, hey, we have a tradition here.
Yes.
And well, I love
tradition.
And that is, we have a tradition is asking the Father Yahweh, God, to actually lead our conversation with you and with us. And we put ourselves in his hands to kind of run it.
To literally help us.
Thank you.
In the ways we should go today and through starting right now. Let's pray.
It's a great practice. Mm-hmm.
Precious Abba, we just thank you so much. We thank you for the hope that we have. Father, if we didn't have the giver of life, your son, Yeshua, Messiah, Father, there would be no hope. But Father, through you, through what you had the mission, you put the second Adam that came and fulfilled. You came and fulfilled your mission. Father, that gives us hope. That gives us a spring in our step that we can walk another day. Because you tell us you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, that, and you, the creator of all of everything, you are our Heavenly Father, and you allow us to call you that, and you call us your children. And we're humbled by that, and we'll be forever grateful. And Father, we just ask you to lead us, to guide us, to direct the way we should go this morning. And this whole day, because it's all we have. Father, help us not to veer to the right or to the left, but to stay right in the center. Write our story today, Abba. And we just thank you in advance how you're going to do that. In Yeshua's holy, precious name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so if you want to talk to us, you can do so by writing in at the number 3.
Wise guys.
At
HebrewNation.net.
Let's repeat that again. The number 3.
Wise guys.
At
HebrewNation.net.
You got it.
Net.
And you can even try calling into us, and I'll do my best to return that phone call.
Try is the operative word.
That's right. I'm still learning some of this stuff, and I know this is operator error, but 503-967-3001. If you're hung up on, or if you don't hang up yourself, we still advise you to hang up after calling in, okay? And then we'll try to call you back.
So what do they have to let it ring 2 or 3 times?
And then hang up.
Then hang up, mm-hmm. And then you should see their number, and then you can call them.
Right, and we'll do our best.
Yes. Yeah, but it's probably a lot easier just to email. We'll check our emails continually here and see.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, and see. Yeah, we're talking about political correctness. Should we be politically correct? What kind of position should a believer or Bible believer take? Should we be bothered by it? Should it upset us? Should we be angst against it?
Is it politically correct to be politically correct?
That is the question.
Now, asking questions, just before we prayed, Roland, you asked a question. We should probably define it, right?
Yes.
So the Cambridge Dictionary says this. Okay. We're using the Cambridge Dictionary today.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Disapproving, avoiding language or behavior that any particular group of people might feel is unkind or offensive.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, let me read that again, huh? Or behavior that any particular group of people might feel is unkind or offensive.
Well, that gives pause to really ponder that.
I don't know what we could say. I mean, because we're going to offend everybody, literally, anybody all the time.
Just by us walking could offend somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So we become what? A speakless society?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's really interesting how it ties in. There's this website called Ranker, and they rank things. Vote on this. Tell us what you think.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a question posed, you know, what are the most challenging political issues that matter right now?
Okay.
And it was interesting because there's 60,000 votes. So this is a fairly large sampling.
That is a big sampling.
Yeah. And you know what the number one issue?
Hmm.
Ties into just exactly what we're saying, free speech. Can you believe that?
Whoa.
That kind of surprised me.
So people are tired of being tongue-tied?
Tongue-tied. More and more we're tongue-tied. Governmentally tongue-tied. Or maybe socially, because somebody, whoever this somebody is, says, well, you can't say that because it might offend somebody.
It could offend me.
Yeah.
Guy, I mean, can you read that again? Because
read it one more time.
I'm actually shocked by that.
You're shocked into silence? That's what they want. They want you to be silent. It's working.
I'm tongue-tied.
Avoiding language or behavior that any particular group of people might feel is unkind or offensive.
Well, you know, no matter what we say, we're going to offend somebody, so we might as well just quit talking.
That's the goal. I'm kind of wondering.
I really believe that.
I'm stuck on that any group. You know, as a teacher, I always taught kids, like, when they're teaching, when you're teaching them to take multiple choice questions, to always ignore the question that has a any and all and that kind of response, because there's nothing in life that is that defined.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I have answers to choose from, A, B, C, or D, ignore the one that says any and all because it's incorrect.
So are you saying ignore the definition because it has an
I'm ready to ignore that definition.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Man. Because no matter what we say, we're going to, you know, it's going to be offensive to somebody.
Well, just like we learned last week with Lee being here.
Yes.
Okay, Lee had learned ways to actually go into a culture and not to be offensive, but he was saying that you don't always know what that culture is.
That's right.
And you can easily stumble over your own 2 feet and offend somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
So
Well, and let's maybe, I don't know if this clarifies or complicates. Maybe it complicates. But we've talked before, and I think it's Brad Scott that says, if you control the words, you control the people.
Right.
So according to the Washington Post, okay, so we don't look at the Washington Post all the time, right?
Right, right.
But they're writing an article, in this case, looking at the word political or the term politically correct. In 1932, it was a positive.
Okay.
Ah. So for instance, they quote here, we looked over the program, but are sure that the few farmers would ever understand it. Of course, it is politically correct to the last letter. That's a positive.
Okay.
It's correct. It's politically correct. And they didn't use it as, oh, you're not PC and it's a slam. And now we've got the opposite happening.
Hmm.
Now, granted, this is for a communist paper that they wrote, but they're just illustrating the point.
Way to go, dude.
Well, you know, hey.
I think what baffles me about the comment is because I think you said it before, being politically correct actually turns around to more political control, or it actually stops. Well, who defines what's offensive?
Is
where I'm really stuck on this thing. Is it just by anyone? Because, Rick, people could be offended by me looking a certain way.
Well, yeah, you might look at somebody and they, what are you doing looking at me, you know? I mean, there's...
Or if I open my mouth at an ice cream place and say, well, do you have chocolate or do you, rather than vanilla, then they could be offended.
They could take offense.
Hey, we only have vanilla.
Yeah.
And exactly. Why did you ask about chocolate? Because chocolate's not... We don't support chocolate at this store.
You're microaggressing me by what you didn't say.
Microaggressing.
Oh, my word.
Whoa.
This is amazing.
Yeah. I think, personally, this is just my humble opinion. I think the whole PC thing has gotten so out of control that everybody's going to be afraid to say anything about anything unless, of course, it's one of the small percentages. Like there are currently 4.1% of the U.S. population that identifies with homosexuality.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you can scream and be loud and crazy and make sure your voice is heard, then you get your way.
Yeah, that's what it's happened.
So the minority automatically, according to this whole microaggression politically correct thing, is automatically being discriminated against just because they are the minority.
So are you saying that because people are yelling and screaming in the streets over certain things, like right now, we're coming up to a voting time.
Mm-hmm. Today.
Yeah, and we've heard people yell and scream, and then people watch this on the news, and then they react to that. They either react to it in a positive way or an empathetic way or a sympathetic, you know, view, or they reject it. But they're still doing something as they watch it. Maybe they're assuming that this is everywhere, and it's not. Maybe it's just isolated.
Mm-hmm. Kind of depends also then on what the media is focusing on.
Exactly.
And if they have an agenda and the big companies behind the media that have the agenda and, you know, it gets so crazy.
Yeah.
It's almost like the interweb itself. There is so much information and you can find any opinion and every opinion on one topic that you'd ever want to find. So which one do you believe? How do you vet the information?
Oh, I love that topic.
Mm.
I love the topic of vetting what I believe. Oh, that's so that's
do you think they would say, I don't know who they is, that the Bible is not politically correct?
Yeah.
No doubt.
It's very offensive.
No, it does. It does divide. He says, my word,
Hebrews,
will divide.
Hebrews 4:12.
It will divide you. And it even divides his people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What calendar are you, when does Shabbat start? When the new moon start? I mean, so if it divides us, how much more?
We're going to interpret the way we want to interpret
exactly.
it. Exactly. Wow.
And divide.
Yeah. And be able to not adjust to somebody else's interpretation.
We're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Does that surprise you?
Is that something new?
Yeah. No, it's not. It just kind of hit me a little stronger today than normal.
Oh, I know.
It's just wow.
Well, if I could, let's key in on that word divide, because prior to us coming on the air, we always pray.
Yeah.
And one of the words that I wrote down was divide, because that came up in our prayer.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And Rick, you just brought up Hebrews 4:12. For the word of Elohim is living and working and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through even to the dividing of being and spirit and of joints and marrow, and the ability and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We're talking about dividing there again. And here's the tie-in, because I thought, politically correct, let's parse these words out. Let's look up, what's politics? The activities associated with the governance of a country, or other area, fine. Especially, this is where it gets interesting to me, the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power. That's a division.
Yes.
Listen to that last part. Especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping to achieve power, capital P.
Power.
Power.
You know, I don't recommend movies a lot, but when I do, I find a good one, and I got to recommend a movie for it.
What movie is it?
There's a movie out on Redbox. It's called The Acts of Paul, or The Acts of the Apostles,
sure,
according to Paul. And great film, because it pictures exactly what you're just now reading.
Really? How?
How did the early church deal with the struggle for power? Okay? Because you had groups of people that didn't want to hear the message of, quote, the way, which was the teachings of Yeshua, and they were trying to squelch it. Okay? And then you had the Roman power that didn't like all the division that was happening in the land of Israel, and they're trying to squelch it. Okay? And then you have the way themselves, which are the apostles of Yeshua,
right,
and Paul, and they're trying to figure out how to be effective.
Yeah, get their message out.
In a government, both from the church and from the world, that wants to snuff them out, and trying to realize that, hey, we're not trying to achieve power. We're trying to spread the gospel of Yeshua,
right,
which is powerless. Other than
powerless?
Powerless according to governmental rule.
Oh, wow.
But powerful,
yes,
according to the kingdom of Yahweh.
Exactly.
Okay?
Well, but see, if I could kind of hold on that for a second. So the political structures, the people that want the power are afraid of the Bible because it usurps their power.
It can.
So I think it does.
Oh, it
because
does.
It takes humanity and changes the course of how we think and what we do if we follow his word.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, I want to become the top dog and amass the wealth and control other people and get my way.
Well, there's still leaders within that. I mean,
because
when you look at the apostles, there was still structure.
Right.
But it was approached differently.
Was that politics?
Was it politics? No, you would still see pictures within the movie that would show some of the political upheavals even within that. Like you had some people within the church, within the believer structures, that wanted to retaliate towards the Romans and towards the church people.
Okay, so there was a conflict between them.
Yeah.
So the activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, believers,
yeah, right?
Especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having to or hoping to achieve power.
Yeah.
So we got, here's my opinion. This is the way I want things.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your opinion, the way you want things.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's trying to achieve power. Isn't that politics from what this definition says?
Yeah, how do you define that, and how do you decide? I mean, this happened even all the way in Exodus. We have Moses, mm-hmm. who was given a seat of power, and then he even defined seats of power within the groups, leaders that led thousands, hundreds, and tens. But then you had another person called Korah.
Korah. Yes, Korah.
That said, hey, we're all holy, and we all
need to do it. We can lead, too.
We all need a seat of power. So, man, this is a question that's throughout Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
How do we deal with it? How do we become involved in it?
You know,
or not involved?
I think you're going to find this shocking. But all the way back in the beginning in Reshith or Genesis.
No, really?
You're going to be shocked.
We've got to go back to Genesis.
I know. So you have to listen for it, because it's not like it's saying, well, for politics, this is what you do in the presidential election. No, it doesn't do that. Let's take a look at Reshit or Genesis 9.
Really?
5 through 7.
Okay. I'll sports
you. Okay. And there's one word that's really going to make this whole thing come to life in our conversation.
Sure. Okay.
You ready?
9, 5 through 7.
Let's see. In this one, I'll read through the ESV. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it, and from man, from his fellow man, I will require a reckoning, twice, for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image, and you, be fruitful and multiply, teem on the earth and multiply in it. How does that relate to politics and what we're talking about?
Well, it zaps the blood out of us. You know,
sucks the life right out of us.
Help me.
You're scaring me.
You know, you aren't supporting the candidate that I want, and I'm upset, and you're not saying the things that I want to say, and sucks us right out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
one way. Sure.
That is kind of creative. I don't know if it's
that
true.
That was real creative. But that's an aspect, though, I think is true. Rick, do you have any take on that? How do you think that relates to politics?
That's, you know...
You know, to me, look at those two words, reckoning.
Okay.
He's going to require reckoning of man, every man.
Yes, that's right.
So if we, dare I say, sit on our thumbs and we don't vote, we don't get involved in the way that our country is run, that he's going to hold us accountable for what we do or we don't do?
Well, yeah.
That's a pretty big stretch.
You think so?
Yeah, but I like it. But it's still pretty big.
We got to remember who puts kings in power, who puts the authority,
who puts them there,
who establishes that authority.
Well, so we don't have to vote.
Yeah, no, doesn't say that. I think we got to do our little part, and then allow His perfect will, which we're going to hopefully have a good idea tonight, or not tomorrow, but the next day. And He puts the authority in power.
So you want to read a standard check? Do you actually have it?
No.
Let's go to Romans 13.
Romans 13.
Because that's where you're heading, I think. I didn't know if you had it. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every person be in subjection to the government authorities, for there is no authority except from Yahweh, God.
He puts them in power.
And those which exist are established by God. This is what's in that movie. You got to see it, because people are actually being burned as living light posts within that movie, within the Roman government, and people want to respond, but Paul's saying, hey, hold on. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. So maybe this is what you're talking about, Rick, when it says require. I don't know. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil.
Ooh.
Within this film, you actually see Paul having to respond to one of the Roman government authorities who wants to put Paul to death. But because of Paul's willingness, he changes him.
Don't go away.
Interesting.
You carry me through the darkest night. shadow of death into the light.
Aura to the nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys as we have a conversation about political correctness. Is it something that we should follow? Is it something that should bother us? Where should we put it in this world of politics? And today seems to be a good day to talk about it because everyone's out there putting their last votes in.
Hopefully all of his people are, or most of them anyway.
Yeah.
You guys realize after last election, I've talked to so many people that literally for 20 years they thought
they never voted.
Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, I'm going to start voting. And hopefully that resonated with a lot of people that, again, his word is truth. Mm-hmm. But we are still called. We know what happens, right? When evil can – what do they call it? Evil can show itself when good men
– do nothing.
Thank you. Exactly.
Sorry. I was
no,
just,
help
I just got excited.
Hey, I need all the help I can get. No, that's good. Because it's true. When good men don't let their voices be heard and sit when evil is showing its ugly head and do nothing apathetically, like what Adam did when Eve was being tempted by the serpent.
Oh, that's
right.
And
he sat there passive instead of saying, Hava, Eve,
run.
We're out of here. We're not coming near this tree again. Something to think about. Isn't it?
Well, you know, I think that illustrates the point I was making with Genesis. And I think that the scripture makes is that there's a reckoning. And this whole chapter talks about multiplication. Let's go out there and be prolific and let's have kids and let's raise families and let's be human beings because that's the way he wants us to proceed. And if we don't vote in a way that preserves life.
Yes. Exactly.
I believe there's going to be a reckoning.
Oh, ooh. Okay. So I agree with you
good
on that
point. Guys.
Yeah, because we, I've got it. Read it again. Okay. Go on back to Bereshit because I need the audience to actually understand that a little bit better.
Well, and we do too.
We do too.
And for our lifeblood, I will require a reckoning from every beast. I will require it. And from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For Elohim made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply. Teem on the earth and multiply in it.
Mm.
So you're talking about how we as human beings keep aborting and killing children.
Absolutely. Yeah. My wife and I received this Oregon Family Council printout that goes through each of the different individuals, a voter's guide.
That's correct. Yep.
And says, hey, how do you stand on pro-life or pro-choice?
Or not. How do you stand on not killing babies?
Right. And that's politically correct. It's either how do you stand on killing babies, human beings,
the most innocent
or helping them
creation.
Live?
Yeah. Yeah. That just offended me.
No, I'm sorry. I know you're not easily offended, Roland.
Do you actually know this? But I know some kids that were doing a paper for their college work, and their professor told them, even though they were in a class that talked about abortion, they could not give in detail what partial birth abortion was.
Oh, my gosh.
No, because they don't want the truth out, do
because,
they?
Because that was offensive, okay? Yeah. Because it looked too bloody, and we couldn't handle it. So you needed to use terms that were politically correct, like pro-life or pro-choice. But
they had a procedure done.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing the way they don't want the truth to go out? Mm-hmm. That's the only reason they would say that.
Right.
Because it is ugly. It is a heinous.
It's a heinous crime.
Barbaric. You're getting me going now, guys. Good. Procedure. And, man, Father, help us to somehow – I don't know how to stand. If I really was that passionate, I'd be out there trying to – don't do it. Don't do it.
Please go see another film. It's called Gosnell.
Gosnell?
Oh, that's that one about
– is that big creature in Japan? Oh, that's no, it's Godzilla.
That's Godzilla.
I'm sorry.
But we had a doctor here, ooh, like Godzilla. Yeah. His name was Guznell, and he was put on charges for murder. And he was an abortionist doctor who was killing babies even once they came out of the womb.
Did you see it?
Wow.
And it's a great film.
You saw it?
It's hard to handle. I have not seen it yet. I've had really close friends see it, and it said it disturbed them. It's not overly graphic, but it's still, you get the point. And address this issue that you're bringing up right now, Gus, a reckoning. And
I saw one, you guys, on film. And this is when I was 20 years old. And it just shook me, man. Mm-hmm. It just was so terrible. And I say, if you believe in abortion, I guess they have them. I've never seen it. I guess they have them on YouTube. You can see one, mm-hmm. witness it. Mm-hmm. And
it's
terrible. You see that little child in agony. Mm-hmm. And there's a little face as its little extremities are being pulled apart piece by piece. I mean, they don't want that truth. That's why these professors and they don't want that truth to come out.
Yeah, it's
because it's heinous. It's barbaric. It's worse than, to me, it's worse than Moloch, because that baby died within, you know, a few seconds. This baby, it's taken minute. It's ripped apart.
You know, I think one of the things that's
– it's terrible, you guys, but we got to face the truth, the facts, what's really happening. This is – man, this is a real sore. And if it's with me, how much more tolerant – I mean, how much more merciful is our Father going to be? Is what – how many in this – almost 3,000 a day today.
And I think what's sad about these polls is you look at the number one thing on the political spectrum that people were upset about is free speech. Number two, immigration. Number three, terrorism. Number four, Social Security. Number five, unemployment.
Where's the babies?
And then, by the way, number six, abortion.
Wow, way down the list.
Well, it's still an issue, and I think
– yeah, but it's life. This is a life issue.
It is, and it's something that's going back to the political correctiveness thing.
Is
like, well, you don't talk about it because it's ugly, it offends people, etc. And I think that's human nature, isn't it? I mean, we don't even want to know where our food comes from. We just want to go to the supermarket.
Okay, so let's read this again because Rick, I love your passion this. But
this is one subject that I just
okay. But think again, Rick. Even in Romans, okay. Paul is writing from the perspective as thousands of Christians are being burned at the stake or being torn apart by animals.
Right.
And he's still saying, be in subjection to the governing authorities.
Right. So we're back in Romans again.
So we're back in Romans at Romans 13. So here we are. And he's saying this, realize that there's no authority except that comes from Yah. Okay.
But when man's authority supersedes Yahweh's, that's where the line is drawn.
Yes.
If man says it's okay to kill a certain people group, that's when we as his people have to stand.
But stand how? Okay, so that's the next question. And this is what I love about what Paul talks about.
Right.
There were people within his group that wanted to pick up the sword. But we know that might not be Yahweh's moment at the time. Maybe we aren't supposed to pick up the sword. But listen to this. And down in verse 5, okay? Verse 4. For it is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. So I can't practice evil for evil. So let's go on further and see what he says. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. But because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers or servants of God devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due to them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except for to love one another. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. So law, notice that he's talking from the position of authority and of law and being subject. One of the things that come to us, I think, by subject is we get to vote. That's subjection.
Yeah.
Okay? So I can still let my voice be heard, I think was where Rick is going. Gus, and that is make my voice heard while that is still available. In fact, Paul used that. Remember when Paul was in trouble? He said, I'm a Roman citizen. You have to treat me as a Roman citizen. That's mm-hmm. bringing in his power of vote. So here's an example of saying, hey, I'm part of this system. I might not like this system, but I realize that the system has been put here. I'm to do good within the system.
Right.
So therefore, if I hold silent with my voting, then I allow more to be killed. Yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a tough one. It's the days we're living in, and we have to address it as his people. And if we can't stand in these little issues, and it's not, I'm not going to say abortion's a little, it's a terrible issue, but it's truly what's happening. And we have to, I really believe we're commanded to, and it's really the only way we can allow our voices to be heard in a small way is to let, you know, cast our votes.
Yeah, cast them. There's another thought that I had coming up because Gus got me started on it.
Yeah.
You know, there will be people that will have angst against certain candidates, right?
Of course.
Because they want a candidate to be something that they imagine that candidate to actually be. But isn't policy more important than the candidate? Shouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Because if there's a candidate that supports a policy of law and order, or if there's a candidate that supports a policy of life, or if there's a candidate that supports a policy of following what's in the Constitution, shouldn't that have more priority than someone who says, no, I just want to not follow the law or not do these sort of things?
Look at our brother Vance Day. Here he is. He just said, you remember, he was a judge here in our local area here, and all he said was, I don't believe in, you know, same-sex marriage, so all I'm going to do, I'm going to quit doing marriages. He didn't say, I'm going to just not going to do this one. He says, and guess what? He was just acquitted of all charges. All charges were dropped.
He was acquitted?
When
did
all
you find that out?
A week or two ago, but point being, his career is still
in shambles.
Devastated. He lost his home. He lost everything.
I actually wrote him in on my ballot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Vance Day, good. Good for you.
But right.
There's a guy that's been persecuted for standing up for righteousness.
He was persecuted for not being politically correct.
Well, yeah, exactly. And he made a stand. He says, I'm not going to – not that I'm not going to just do gay marriage. I'm not going to do marriages at all.
Huh.
So – and he they still – made him an example. That's the days we're living in, folks. And, boy.
It's still not as bad as what Paul's writing about with the Romans.
No, of course not. But still.
It isn't. You know, and I'd suggest kind of a tangent, but I'd suggest that maybe we can look at next week talking about those that do stand up.
Yes.
Like Day and others.
Yes.
And why we don't. That whole psychology involved in that might be something to explore. Maybe even next week.
Of why we don't stand up when there's
an issue. Why we don't do what we should be doing. Yeah.
But I think you're right, though. I think we don't stand up because we are politically correct-minded.
And maybe we're too fat and happy. I don't want to lose my things, my comfort, my – let's sideline that, but let's consider that for a future topic.
And, I don't want to take the heat.
Yeah.
See, and that when you start to do these things, we know there will be heat.
But isn't that the fear of being politically correct? I don't want to push that. But the thing is, I think the reason why people don't speak is from that very description.
The fear of not being politically correct.
The fear of not being politically correct.
But why? I mean, if it were just you in a vacuum by yourself, being politically correct wouldn't matter.
Correct.
But we – was that politically or just correct? I'm confused.
You were confused?
So the – now you add one other person and you got to consider that other person's feelings.
All the time.
All the time. Now you add, I don't know, 7.5 billion other people.
And sometimes we go overboard. You ever realize that whenever someone weeps or says that you didn't understand me or things didn't go my way, do you ever notice how quick we are to turn course and say, oh, it's okay. You didn't really do anything that bad anyways. We still love you. Everything's going to be okay. Rather than using it as a learning experience.
Yeah. Yeah, you really messed up there. I'm sorry that, you know, you're feeling sad and, you know, we come alongside you to help correct the course. But, yeah, you messed up big time.
Yeah.
And hopefully you learn by it.
Yeah.
But we don't do that anymore.
No, we don't. We don't want to make anybody feel bad, do we?
No. What's happened to us?
It's all about happiness. I just want to be happy. That's my life. That's the goal of my life. I want to be happy.
Well, yeah. I do. But
who doesn't want to be happy? But that shouldn't be our goal,
exactly.
Right?
No, correct.
Because we've got a worldview that says there's an eternity. And that's a whole different picture than right here, right now.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, man, we learned that when we interviewed the Voice of Martyrs. We learned that when we interviewed Lee the other day, is that there's, you know, there's a bigger kingdom involved.
Yes, mm-hmm. There is.
Do you know that even Paul corrected those people that were under him?
He was politically correct.
Yeah.
Critically impolite. How's that go?
He corrected them.
Politically correctly.
Moses corrected people.
Yes.
Daniel corrected people. Mordecai corrected Esther.
Politically incorrect. I figured it out.
Man. So who needs to stand up? Is it the person that's being corrected or the person that's correcting? I don't know.
Maybe they both need to stand up, mm-hmm. Right? I made a mistake. Let me stand up and say, I made a mistake, everybody. I'm so sorry. I'm contrite about that. And here's what I'm going to do to change my behavior moving forward.
I love that. That's maturity.
Mm. Well, and that's the key. You know, we all make mistakes, right? Especially with the ones that are closest to us. Mm-hmm. But what do we do? Do we humble ourselves after and be willing to be able to say, I am so sorry. I didn't realize it came across that way or that type of thing. And, you know, all of the ones, our families are the only ones that really know how we really are in that respect. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
I think so.
Man, I'm always having to do that. Dude.
Well, the key is wrong that you do. I've seen people that I made a mistake isn't in their vocabulary.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen any of those?
I have run into some.
Yeah,
in fact, I used to be one of those probably. Yeah.
Probably all of us were prideful. We're all working on, you know, being less prideful. But, you know, we're all works in progress. Bottom line, none of us have arrived.
Yeah.
And if we ever think we have, Father, help us.
Yeah. My goodness. What are the texts we have when it comes to this idea of being involved?
What about 1 Timothy 2:1-2?
Timothy's learning how he's under the instruction of Paul.
Yes, Timotheos.
Yeah.
Cute little Timotheos. He's learning from Petros.
He's the younger guy.
Yeah. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way.
Ooh. Yeah. Dignified in every way.
That deserves a repeat.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, read it again, Gus.
First of all, then.
Where?
1 Timothy 2:1-2.
I like to.
First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way.
Mm.
Wow.
We're to be praying for rulers as well as using the
commanded to pray for our leaders.
The ones we voted for and the ones we didn't.
Yes. Correct. Oh, that is so true. Yeah. I had someone ask the other day, and they said,
what'd they ask you, Ron?
This is funny. No, someone told me this. Someone had brought this up to them and say, how could you possibly vote for a person that is our president right now who's done immoral behavior in his past? How could you pray for them?
Wow.
And so the person said, yes, I did pray for them, and yes, I did vote for them. And he says, I also prayed for the president before him.
I did.
And I also prayed for the president before that. Okay? It was really kind of cool.
Yeah, saying, we're commanded to.
We are commanded. When I look at the kings that are within Scripture, I fail to see any real perfect king.
Pray for Nero? That would be a tough one.
Nebuchadnezzar?
Nebi?
Yeah. Oh, Nebi.
Yeah, but Nebuchadnezzar allowed Israel to thrive.
Yeah.
Okay, so right now we have a president that's allowing Christianity to still operate under the term of Christianity.
Well, and he even set up our embassy in Jerusalem.
Right.
I mean, that is, you know,
those
that's
are policies.
Amazing.
Now, let's be real clear. When we say pray for them, it's not like we pray, Father, you'll take him out of there. And, you know, no. Pray for them for guidance and not a negative
wisdom.
Thing. No. Yeah, exactly.
Understanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thoughtfulness.
I did have a hard time praying for
the last one.
not as bad as a few back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but The Father put him there, and that's what we got to remember. They don't just get there
by accident.
He puts them in power, and maybe the last eight, maybe that's what we deserved, right?
And so, does he put him in power? I got to be careful how I say this. Not because of what we vote for, who we vote for, but I don't even know how to say this, guys. It's not like we're the ones leading Yahweh to who he's going to decide.
No.
But there's an interaction there. Because otherwise, getting back to what we said earlier, well, I don't have to do anything. Yahweh's going to take care of it. No, we still need to act. So how would you characterize that?
Well, you know, he will put the one in power that needs to accomplish what he needs to do. Does that make sense or not really?
Yeah, but how does that spur me to take action?
Well, if you've been apathetic and you've been ignoring things, mm-hmm. and things have to get bad enough where no one can make that choice anymore. You see that in the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. People had to make a choice. People had to step out and start doing things. Even the U.S. had to move from isolationalism mm-hmm. to being partakers within World War II.
Mm.
That was a huge fight, if you guys remember that history.
Yeah.
Okay? And it took the bombing of Pearl Harbor to wake up the U.S. and say, hey, we're going to get involved. The same thing happens here, even in Paul's time. Mm-hmm. Okay? Persecution seems to get people on a roll. China has one of the fastest growing underground churches that there is. But yet, they're being persecuted the hardest.
And they have to be underground to survive.
They have to be underground.
That's because they have subways.
Yeah.
Okay, so look at that in a slightly different light. We take Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
And the citizenship there that either went along with the PR, the propaganda, uh-huh. right, or turned a blind eye because of the comfort level or, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, that whole aspect is very interesting to consider and talk about.
I've heard it said that when the trains would go by and they would hear the moaning of the folks that were being hauled off.
Church people were still singing in churches.
Sing louder.
In their churches.
So they wouldn't have to hear them. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Sing louder so we wouldn't have to hear those little folks going mm-hmm. off to be exterminated.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, we have to get engaged. We have to do our little part right where Father's planted you. Even if you're shut in and all you can do is make the phone call,
mm-hmm.
to just those little acts of kindness when Father brings somebody to your mind or to your heart, just in a small way, just do something to make a difference.
You know how we've heard in political jargon, well, that's a red line. You can't cross the red line, then we're going to act, right? Maybe we all have our little red lines or our lines in the sand.
Yeah.
It isn't a set thing in concrete.
No, it's not.
You draw the line, you cross it. Okay, now here's the next line. And I'm looking at this as the good thing, not the negative.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to make a phone call. That's my line.
Yeah.
I cross that line. Great. Now what do I need to do? Well, now I guess I could actually go out and vote. Okay, good. I'll do that. Now maybe I need to participate in a group that's furthering biblical values. Maybe that's in a public way out in a square or meeting, something like that. That's the next line. Maybe we need to keep crossing those kinds of lines.
Yeah, one line at a time. You know,
one line at a time.
Sweet Jesus.
Sorry. Gosh.
Oh, so many things to think about. And, you know, we're all his hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
And all, you know, he's given us each. Don't you pray every day, Father, just help me fulfill my mission you have for me today. And all we have is now, today.
Yep, I'm available.
Yeah, Father, we're available to do whatever you would call us to do with your strength, never in my own, of course, because I don't have it. So, yeah, just some things to think about and to ponder and to make, if we need to make some adjustments mm-hmm. in how we live.
Yep. So Timothy's, you know, in the whole Timothy thing, hey, we got to pray for our leaders.
Yes.
Regardless of whether we voted for them or prefer them or not. He's got a plan. Yahweh's got a plan. And we need to keep praying for his perfect plan to work through whoever's there.
Amen.
Good I word. Have another text.
Good.
Matthew 6:33. It's right from Yeshua. You know, we are learning from Paul to respect, and we're learning from Paul to pray. But there's one more text. Hang on.
Boom.
morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show with the three wise guys. And we are having a lot of fun here, aren't we, Robert?
We are.
Happy day.
Why I'm laughing is because both of you guys are looking at me and goes, so, Roland, do you remember where you left off?
So Roland never forgets those kind of
things. Am I getting that old?
Well, you couldn't remember where your glasses were this morning, so you couldn't see to find them. So, come on.
We're in Matthew 6.
Okay. Good job.
Yeah, Matthew 6, 33. All right? And I think this puts things back into perspective. Seek first His kingdom, Yahweh's kingdom, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day is enough trouble on its own.
Amen.
And so when it comes to for me voting, if I'm doing what I know to do what's right, and I know I'm voting for a candidate that's following biblical principles, okay, that's willing to help help Christianity, help beliefs, okay, and not hinder them or to squelch them, that's where I'm voting.
Yeah. Aren't there a lot of nations you don't even have – they don't even have the opportunity – to choose who is in leadership over them.
Right.
I think a lot of those Middle Eastern nations don't have that opportunity.
Yeah, but it goes back to, I think here now we have this opportunity.
Yes.
We have it.
We are the freest nation.
And I like where Gus brought us into
I love it.
What is required of us. Okay, so if I'm required to stand up for the living, okay, if I'm required to do some of those things, well, and I have the opportunity, then I should do it, knowing that still Yahweh decides who's going to be the king and who's going to be in charge. And I'm still okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still good.
Mm-hmm.
Because President Trump was not supposed to be there right now. He was not. I really, truly believe it's just his mercy, even though I know maybe some don't.
Like
I believe it was a curse that he got there.
I think it's a blessing.
It was Yahweh's mercy, you see.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It was Yahweh's mercy.
Some don't view it that way, though. Some view it like, Hasatan.
I get it.
The devil put him in there because he's the devil.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think the devil would be supporting Israel and putting our capital in Jerusalem, see. Yeah. I don't think the devil would be trying to
follow law.
Yeah,
I don't think devil would be trying to save things. But even if it was, let's take the concept of devil. Let's look up Daniel.
Daniel.
Okay.
I love Daniel.
And let's find out if the devil can put someone in power. Maybe we should look at that.
Remember Skip, what is it, Skip Wilson? Back in the day, the devil made me do it. Remember that?
Oh, wasn't he funny?
What was his name?
I think you're right.
No, something Wilson.
It was Wilson.
Flip Wilson.
Flip. Thank you. I knew it was right along that line. Laughing.
The
archive
memory.
Yeah.
Good job. You accessed that memory really well.
Thank you.
Flip. Oh, I love Flip.
Oh, Flip.
So look up Daniel 2.
Daniel 2.
And that's Daniel 2:21. And then there's also Daniel 4:17. You guys got it?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Okay.
Daniel 2:21. And he changes the times and the seasons, and he removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O Elohim of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and you have made known to me what we ask of you.
for you have made known to us the king's demand.
Wow.
He's writing this about even the king that he works under.
That's right.
Okay, so Daniel works under Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel works under these other kings, and he's acknowledging that Yahweh will still give them wisdom. And we see that all through the Old Testament. We see Yahweh even approaching kings and rulers that didn't even know him, and he changed their minds.
Well, he says in Proverbs, I change the heart of kings like rivers of water, wherever way I please.
Wow.
I love it. Just love it. See, our Father's in charge. And even though it's heinous, and even though his mercy, you guys, is beyond comprehension, what he allows to happen.
Yeah.
You know, with these, you know those little unborn children that are being pulled apart day by day. He loves those little children. He takes them to be with him, and that's the only way that you could really justify such a heinous act.
What does Daniel 4 say?
Daniel 4.
And I think we're on 4:17.
I think he chose 17 there. Yeah, and I like that. The decision is announced by messengers. The Holy One declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men.
Amen.
And gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men.
Wow.
There it is.
He sets over them
the lowliest of men.
Oh, my word.
That is the nearly inspired version out of that one.
Joseph came from prison. He was low. No one even knew him. And yet
he was in a dungeon.
Yet he rules Egypt with Pharaoh.
And he pulled him out.
Daniel was a nobody. And yet he becomes a somebody within that kingdom.
See?
Daniel was a slave running from a city that had been completely wiped out. Nothing.
So that's the God we serve. See? And wow. He's amazing.
So there,
he's awesome and powerful and good and just.
There are people in any administration that can change minds through.
Yeah.
Here's another text, Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of the Messiah, his son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Wow.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of all the political correctness, we still have to realize there's someone else in charge.
Through all of it, through everything, the good times, the bad.
Yeah.
All the time, every time.
And that's the big, how could a loving God allow all this evil to do what it's doing? And that's probably one of the biggest things that our atheists, I can't serve a God like that. That's what they say.
So
have you ever heard that?
Oh yeah,
we all have. And so just some things to think about, to have mercy on our unbelieving, the people that are brought, those divine appointments that he brings. And boy, the Holy Spirit just has to do the work, doesn't it?
What does this all have to do, though, as we discuss this? What does this all have to do with that political correctness problem that we first raised up? I mean, because, man, what's that definition again? You can't say things to
what
any
is it,
group
Gus?
That
yeah, I don't have it up in front of me here, but basically, you can't say anything to anybody about anything
that
might offend them. Here's actually another one that I found here. If you say that someone is politically correct, you mean that they are extremely careful not to offend or upset any group of people in society who have a disadvantage or have been treated differently because of sex, race, disability, etc.
Wow.
So then would the message of – if I were to share the message of the Messiah or the gospel, how do I
You're going to offend people.
I will offend, but there's got to be a ways to be less offensive. I mean,
well, presentation method, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Titus is he's got it nailed here. Titus 3:9. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the Torah, for they are unprofitable and worthless.
Okay.
Foolish controversies. You have an opinion. I have an opinion. They won't always match up.
Correct.
So that means we should, you know, get on the airwaves and call out make up stuff that are, you know, this lady, she came after you, and so you're a sex offender, and start, you know, just like, what were we talking about during the break? Day.
Oh, Vance Day. Vance Day. Judge Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he, just because he chose not to, to do it Yahweh's way and not ordain all marriage, he opted out, he lost his whole judgeship. He is now, he's trying to keep his head above water, see, for just
so
being.
But he was trying to do it, I think, in a politically correct way.
That's why he said, I won't do any marriage.
Okay,
I won't do any.
So he avoided it, just like Titus is saying. He avoided the quarrel altogether. So I'm just going to pull out of that.
But
they still went after him.
They still came after him and made him an example.
So when do you call sin sin? When do you take the risk of being not politically correct, or do you?
Okay, say that again.
When do you take the risk to call sin sin? Like, take, for instance, John the Baptist in the New Testament. He ran up to one of the Roman leaders, and he called him out on his marriage, mm-hmm. okay? And that created an angst, and eventually he lost his head over it, right?
Yes, he did, literally.
literally. So he made the choice to not be politically correct at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was politically correct when he went into the town of Corinth and stuff. He would say, hey, you're worshiping all these gods, but I notice you have an unknown God. And let me tell you about him. Okay? So he didn't come in with just an axe to grind or throwing something, but he came in it in a roundabout way.
Was that politically correct, or just being sensitive to his audience and how to communicate it in a way that they'd be able to accept it?
I like that a lot better. Yeah.
Are those the same things? I mean, there's got to be people out there saying, well, he just said the same thing in two different ways.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're creating a huge distinction.
Okay. Why? What is it?
Well, because if I knew an audience was overly sensitive, take for instance, people that are homosexual. Let's take that topic for a minute. And you come in and you hit them over the head and you say, you are living in sin. Okay. Yeah, we know that according to the Bible, they are living in sin. But is that the way to open up the conversation? Is that the way to approach a person and let them see the true living Torah and the gospel of Yeshua, who redeems us and saves us?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be the best method? I'd say
no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's just like the guy that's out screaming, you're going to hell.
Right.
You know, turn, you know. I mean, that is not going to draw anybody. All that's going to do is tick a lot of people off. There's a way to be kinder and gentler and, you know.
Yeah.
To maybe have an answer for the hope that we have, but do this in gentleness and respect.
Thank you, First Peter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we had learned this last week with Lee.
Yes.
Lee found a way to talk to Orthodox Jews, mm-hmm. okay? Rather than coming and saying, you are not accepting the Messiah.
No,
okay?
He didn't go what you're not doing.
Therefore, you're going to hell. He came in and said, hey, look, you like studying under a rabbi, right?
Right.
And they go, yes, we do. And he says, well, let me tell you about my rabbi that I'm studying under.
Yeshua.
Okay? And they started a conversation going on and therefore created a link. He didn't have all the angst. So many times when we're dealing with people when it comes to political issues, why aren't we finding a way to find that story thing that we talk about all the
Amen.
Time? How do we connect?
Well, but we can't talk about that, especially not around the Thanksgiving table. Two things, politics and religion. We just can't talk about those things. It's
and
off
health.
The table.
And health.
And health.
Yeah, there's three things.
Oh,
yeah.
Health too?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that was the third one.
Guys are stuffing more food in their face. More chocolate pudding. I don't want to talk about health.
More food.
But, you know, truly, why can't we talk about those? Because we get emotionally divested, I think. And it's, I got to be right. My way, I'm right.
Instead of doing what's right.
Yeah,
we gotta
or being okay with being wrong.
Oh, yeah. Being able to say, well, maybe I could have adjusted the way I said that. Forgive me, could you?
So maybe it has to do with how we say things.
Humility.
But still being willing to stand up what we are convicted over. Like if I know someone's going to be killed, do I yell out, stop, don't kill him,
mm-hmm.
okay? Don't take all those people to the concentration camps, stop, and then risk having a bullet being put in my head.
Or joining them, right?
Or joining them. I mean, what do you do? This is a tough topic.
And we're not that old. We may have to address this literally before we into our lives. We don't know, but we just got to be ready, and we got to get our spiritual muscles built up now and be, you know, have oil in our lamps like the wise virgins were and be ready. Mm-hmm. So to whatever, day by day, step by step, whatever path Father takes us on. Mm-hmm. And we've had a pretty good life, haven't we? We really have had
probably too good.
You think so?
You know, it goes back to that fat, happy, lazy kind of a thing.
You know, it does make you a little apathetic, doesn't it?
Okay, so here's a very light example of this. So I got back from weeks of work and travel, right. And my wife and I said, you know what? We gotta get our yard in shape before it rains, because we're in this area of Oregon called the Willamette Valley, and it rains a lot in the winter. So we got out there. We got a Thatcher on Sunday. We went nuts on that thing. And guess what? We're just a wee bit sore the next couple of days. I mean, when I try to get out of a chair, it's like, oh, those are muscles I haven't used in a while.
Yeah.
But if I'm using muscles, and I'm not talking about injury, but if I'm using muscles and those muscles are now sore, maybe I should use those muscles a little bit more.
A little bit more.
I don't think that's a bad thing. So I think that angst, that challenge, that adversity causes us to rise up better. I think you mentioned that earlier in a different context.
Yeah. It's
got another text for
yes,
you.
Yes, go ahead.
Acts 4. Acts of the Apostles. I'm really into Acts, especially after seeing that movie. You guys got to see it, okay? It's called Acts of the Apostles or Acts of Paul, and it's just put out just this year, 2018. Acts 4, and 16, and I'm going to read down.
Okay.
This is when some of the apostles were brought before. This is when Peter and John were brought before the council. Okay? And the council said this, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name." What name? Yeshua's name.
Yes.
"And when they had summoned them," that's Peter and John, "they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard.'"
Wow, and this is in the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees.
Yeah.
"We are holy people. Yeah. You must not talk about him."
What?
Boy, they.
So there is a time, I think, where you are called to talk about something. They couldn't stop talking about what Yeshua had done in their lives. They couldn't stop talking about the miracles.
Right.
So what kind of talk is this? How does this have to relate to politically correct? What does this have to relate to how we approach people and what we're actually talking about? Are we talking about the kingdom of men or kingdom of God? And are you supposed to keep silent when you know something or what?
Hmm. Have we gone to 1 Peter yet?
No, we haven't.
I don't think we've hit that. How about 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17?
I love 1 Peter.
"Be subject, for Yahweh's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil, and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of Elohim, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of Elohim. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear Elohim. Honor the emperor."
Whoa. So what's the biggest order?
What's the biggest order? The top shelf?
Who am I to be subject under first?
Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yeah. His Torah, his instruction supersedes
to do good
of men.
And so Peter and John were doing good.
They were doing good.
So that's how they knew that they were under the right subjection.
Right.
Okay? Rather than the subjection of men. But still, in the same time, they were polite to the leadership that came in. You don't see him cursing at them.
No.
Mm-hmm. You don't see him yelling at them. Paul didn't do it. Peter didn't do that. Jeez.
Yeah, it says in 19, let's continue on. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to good and gentle, but also to the harsh."
So let's replace that word.
Yes.
Be subjective to the person that you're employed with.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, doing good. So that means I should do the best work I can possibly
do. They should, really,
employers should want all God-fearing people working for them.
Do everything as if unto Yahweh.
Amen.
Well, that's a tall order.
That's a tall order. I get it. Yeah. But really, that's the way it should be if we're being whom Father has called us to be.
Or substitute even the person I didn't vote for that in that line.
Yeah.
Right?
Good point.
Hey.
Oh.
And still respect him?
I don't know about respect.
The office.
I'm not respect the office.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I'm not going to call him names. Am I going to call that ruler names? I mean, I don't get that point of view by reading Peter.
Not with my outside voice. There are some that I have some real challenges with, and I'll be transparent. It's hard for me not to be really angsty about them. But I don't go out and tell people, that idiot. He's the president whatever position. Mm-hmm. We have to respect the position, like
any
Rick
position,
just said.
Man.
Because Yahweh puts them there, just like
he
we've been
puts
saying.
Them there.
Like
so rather than yelling out with our minds and our words, we should pray for them.
Absolutely. There's where we should be, right there.
Yeah.
Praying for them. Once again, not praying, take them away with the plague. No, no.
Change is hard, oh, Father.
It is.
Yeah.
Hey, so we are missing people here. Okay, so.
Which kind of people?
Well, people that need to be part of the conversation.
Well, we did get one text.
We got one?
Yeah, but that's if they know our numbers, our personal. We should have a Three Wise Guys number or
you
phone.
Really
that
should.
Way people could call us.
Well, it's come to me. Maybe it's the number 3.
Wise Guys.
At
HebrewNation.net.
Net. I'm going to pull up my computer and see if something's coming up.
Okay.
Okay, because usually my phone gets it.
I did get a text, and the text had to do with being group-minded. Now, there's a concept of if you're individual-minded, you aren't considering others. I wonder also if there isn't an aspect of, are we being group-minded? Well, does that mean I have to follow every – where'd that music come from?
Sorry.
Am I just following the herd as compared to taking a stand, even if I'm outside the herd, but I know it's right biblically?
That's more difficult, isn't
that's
it?
That's tough.
That's tough.
Boy, the Hebrew people have to deal with this a lot.
Which Hebrew people? Back in the day?
Yeah.
Or today?
Both. Yeah.
So are you talking about the Israelite over in the land, Hebrew people? Or us
Israelites. Here. Okay. People who decide that they want to follow the word of Yahweh. What do you do? I mean, shoot. Never mind. I mean, I'm kind of thinking about.
Keep going there.
There's a lot of people that they keep leaving places because they don't like something.
Leaving places, be more specific.
So leaving their assembly, you mean?
Say they're in an assembly, or say they're in a fellowship, or say they're in a church. Mm-hmm. And there's an angst they have with one or two people. Maybe it's theologically, maybe it's something like that. And rather than addressing the issue, they decide they want to become politically correct, and they just leave instead. And then they get to another fellowship, and then they find out they can't get along with them, and they leave another one. And they can't get along with them, and they leave another one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's not uncommon.
No, it's not uncommon. In fact, it's real prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And is that a pride issue? Saying, I'm right and you're wrong, therefore I'm always going to just go start something else?
I think there's a whole lot of factors involved in that one.
Yeah, there are.
Personal preferences, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know. That could be 2 hours in itself.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Right.
I really do. Here's another text, and this is from our honorary fourth wise guy, Aaron. I had a conversation with someone who said he doesn't believe that Elohim influences elections because that violates, quote, free will. He also said Trump is such a bad guy. Why would God appoint such a man? Well, Aaron's argument was this. King David, King Solomon, because they were both appointed by Yah, by him.
Did bad things.
Both guys that did very bad things.
And still blessed.
Guess what? Human beings do bad things. No exceptions.
Mm-hmm. And who hasn't? So that's what I say. If people try to dig up the past, you might as well. What good is forgiveness? See? Mm-hmm. The Father's forgiven me. So when we all have issues, we all have some skeletons. Some skeletons are bigger than others.
I even have to ask people, though, what are they currently doing? Hang on to that.
Yeah.
to the nations.
With the wise guys here on Smooth Talking Radio.
that was smooth.
It was smooth.
Brought to you by Aquila and Priscilla.
Oh, we have fun, don't we?
We do.
I've missed you guys tremendously.
Oh, boy. That's why I called you. I says, Gus, when are you going to return? I says, oh, by the way, I'm here.
Such a blessing.
Happy day.
I really like learning along with the audience, which I'm just making an assumption there that they are learning something.
Yeah.
But hearing, you know, your opinions, if nobody else were listening, it would be valuable to me.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That I agree with. It's valuable for us to study over these scriptures. It's valuable for us to run these ideas past each other. It's valuable for us to have a good time with each other and not take ourselves too seriously.
That's the key.
Yes, yes.
You know, so hopefully you'll do the same with people. You know, we had a text that came in that was sent to us by Aaron. And again, Aaron, we love Aaron too for filling in whenever
Absolutely.
Gus isn't here. He does
you
such a
great job.
He'll
probably be here next week because I'm going to be.
Oh, is he filling in for you?
He's filling in.
Yeah. Okay. Good deal.
I'll miss you all, but I got to go. Family issues.
Stuff to do.
Issues.
It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. All right. So how do we take care of conversations? Maybe we should ask that because we've been talking about politically correct, being politically correct, knowing we're coming up to Thanksgiving. And you're going to hear comments from people that say, I hate so-and-so. I hate the president.
Ooh, that's a strong word.
Or I hate the governor. And what am I going to do about this? Okay. And they're such, they're terrible people. How do we handle those conversations?
Well,
maybe we should ask that.
I always ask, why was the, I was talking to a gentleman downtown last night, and he says, "Hey," and Dry says, "Did the last one do better?" He says, "Well," I says, "Our current president just says what a lot of people, not all, a lot of people think," and he says it, and you know, I'm not trying to cover for him. I'm not, but he just it's just, I don't know if he's going to change his spots in his 70s, but you just watch what he does. Watch, you know, he brought the embassy to Jerusalem. He is standing, you know, he's trying to protect our borders. He's trying, standing for life. All those things, that's what I look at.
And he's questioning, lifelong politicians, which is what I appreciate.
Trying to clean
the
house.
You know, one of the things that, I don't know if people remember, but our memories are short, right?
Of course they are.
Okay, but I'll tell you what, it was really hard for me as a parent sending my kid to a college and finding out that if I wasn't a citizen, my kids could have a free ride at college. So I was having to digest that. And I was going, wait a minute, I pay taxes. I am a citizen.
I'm lawful,
but yet someone who comes in that's unlawful, who doesn't pay taxes, all of a sudden gets a $40,000 scholarship.
Gets a free ride.
How does that happen? And the other thing that I forgot about is here I am. I was dealing with my own health coverage as a self-employed person. We could do a major medical. Under the Obamacare, we could no longer do major medical. And my insurance skyrocketed 3 times the normal amount. It was more than a mortgage. So I'm going, wait a minute, is there anyone who'll speak for me? Is there anyone who'll actually say, hey, stop it. The middle class is getting destroyed.
Wow. You know, we've got to redistribute that wealth, you know.
Right.
But that's what it's doing, isn't it?
Yeah, but it only affects the middle class.
The middle class, the affluent can pay for it. The needy
get it
free. And
middle class,
we get
carry it.
So who's the majority?
Middle class.
Yeah. Huh. And we have the least voice. Why is that? Are we not standing up for ourselves because we want to – I mean, maybe it's partly – and there's a bunch of reasons. We don't have nearly enough time to go into them. But let's just take this one aspect. I am eking on an existence. I don't have a ton of money for retirement. Mm-hmm. I'm in the middle class. My taxes keep building. Mm-hmm. Everything gets more expensive.
Yeah.
And it's just – I'm fighting to keep my head above water in general, let's say.
Correct.
In middle class. So I don't have a lot of extra to be able to go out there and now stand for a cause, take off work, and go somewhere. So if – and I'm just going to use the term they, whoever they are.
Yeah.
Keep the middle class just enough so that they're able to make it. Now they don't have enough to have a voice. Whereas if they had plenty, would they take the chance to have the voice? Or would the plenty now cause them not to have a voice because they're fat, happy, lazy?
Mm. That could happen.
Yeah,
I don't know. But it's a majority. So once again, if you're not in the majority, you're the ones that are being discriminated against, et cetera, automatically.
I think my advice for anyone who wants to vote
is
to, number one, read the law, read the positions. Take the time to research, because we always say that about Bible. Why don't we say that about life? I mean, if ever you want to know what the Bible says, well, read it. Okay, but and the same thing is true. I always find that people take a prejudicial side by what someone's telling them rather than actually reading the law. Like, even on something as stupid as this fight against Trump, okay, that he had supposedly had an encounter with a prostitute. Well, he did that in Vegas before he was the president, and he did it legally. Judah happened to do that even in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
not that we're covering for him or not.
And I'm saying,
not that we approve.
No.
Stating the facts.
Yep. But we have other presidents in the past that broke the law of office. By when they were in office,
right. They
actually had sex in the Oval Office, or they did it with affairs. And our law says that if you're the commander-in-chief, that's the law, that you are not to have an affair. Well, in this particular case on Trump, this was even before he was in office. He didn't have an affair. He had a legal transaction, maybe. And even that case is falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask Christians to say, hey, wait a minute. What is really the law? What's really done, and weigh that with what's going on in your present world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, definitely some things to think about. I always say that the enemy always covers for himself. That's why I said, why don't they call him? Well, the other side, you got to admit, they do cover pretty well for each other.
They do well.
They're pretty unified, aren't they?
Yeah.
They don't throw each other under the bus quite as much as our side does.
JFK, Robert Kennedy.
They were all.
FDR, Bill Clinton. Man, were those philanderers or what?
Whoa.
And but that doesn't affect how they do their job. That's their personal life, guys.
Yeah, I know, right?
But it's
still
breaking the law.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. While we were talking about this, I thought, well, there's an apathy. We need to fight apathy. And who has some information on apathy?
Ooh.
Well, Scripture does, obviously. And I also came across Relevant Magazine. I thought, well, check out this article on how to fight apathy. It turns out that this is a biblical column, and it was written a couple of years ago by James Harris. And he breaks it down into basically five categories. One, try to get an idea. Why? Get to the bottom of why you feel apathy.
Mm.
Let's try to figure it out. What is it that's causing you to feel apathetic? Second, he says, repent of wrongdoings. And that's what caught my eye. It's like, wait.
Teshuva, turn back.
Yes, repent of wrong attitudes, he says. Excuse me. So I need to really come to grips with my own inadequacies and things that I've done. Three, remind yourself of all you've been given.
Ooh.
How
count
blessed.
Your blessings.
Oh, my
count
goodness, yes.
I love
so
it.
Many. Because
count
otherwise we're
one.
Sorry. The Three Wise Guys album, CD, there's no albums. Blu-ray coming out in a store near you. Yes. Take a step back and get some perspective. Just reboot. Maybe you need to break for a day from the topic.
Reboot.
That's it. Yes.
I got a boot.
That's a computer thing.
Yeah,
take your boot off, put it back on again.
And reboot it.
Yeah, that's a Three Wise Guys reboot. Might want to do that twice, one for each foot. And then finally, revise where you're going. Take some action based on those other steps. I thought, okay, that's practical, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Fight apathy. What are you giggling about over there?
I'm kidding. If you knew what I was looking at.
What are you
looking
at?
I was going to be a Gus for a moment and look up apathy in Hebrew.
Yeah, what it say?
And how it's stated is adishut.
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 Adishut is the Hebrew meaning for apathy. Oh. It's something that goes against the basic human need or function for love. So it's the opposite.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Adishut.
Adishut.
My mom wouldn't let me say that. I had to say Adi darn it instead. And it was Adi shucks, and I couldn't. Huh, Adi shoot.
Adi shoot.
That's crazy.
Oh.
All I could envision when I was laughing was you coming from Minnesota and saying Adi shoot.
Well, you know, Ollie, Audi, shoot, I dropped my watch in the outhouse. I don't know, whatever.
Apathy, a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. It's widespread apathy among students. Students are basically, if I use that term, would be they quit trying because they just constantly got defeated. And so it can happen from lack of love. It can happen from being defeated. It can happen feeling that you don't have a voice anymore.
Well, it's just like that's hopelessness almost, isn't it? They're just hopeless.
Yeah.
Adishut.
We need to have hatikva instead, the hope, right?
Yes.
Well, and I think we need to redefine a term here. When we say students, we automatically think of high school, college.
My son, he's 40 and he's still in school.
Have you stopped learning?
Nope.
Hey, I better not stop.
No, aren't we all students?
Yep.
We're all students of, yes.
We better be.
We're of the word and
hopefully.
Of life. We're all hopefully, we are getting wiser. That's what, wise guys.
Hopefully.
They're all mature individuals.
The Urban Dictionary.
Oh, dear.
This is going to be,
Uh-oh, here we go.
Lacking passion, motivation, and desire due to emotional suppression.
Ooh, I don't like the emotional suppression. They had me all the way up to that one.
Yes.
Oh,
I do shoot. I'm emotionally suppressed. Someone help me. I'm giving up. Oh, shoot.
I do shoot. That's beautiful.
So anyways, I mean, where are we with this? Wow. Where did we go?
Well, where did we start? Let's start there, right?
Politically correct.
Right. Politically correct. Mm-hmm. And from rear sheet on, we've had so many different examples of we aren't necessarily supposed to be politically correct so much as we're supposed to be humble, respectful, and really holding to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's a call for us to act.
And realizing that we are required and we are kingdom seekers. We belong to a larger kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And Yahweh does have things under control. He does put people in place.
Yep.
I'm still wrestling though with that whole idea is when do you speak out? When are you not politically correct? How do you do it? And do you think that you're actually called to it or should we steer clear of it? So we try not to create a problem.
Well, if politically correct is offending anybody with anything you say, if based on the way they take it, you can't avoid being politically incorrect.
So embrace it.
Just be truthful and honest in a respectful and humble manner.
That's the key.
You know, it's kind of like people say, well, you always have to be true. Really? So what if my – and this isn't the case. What if my wife has a haircut and it's a bad haircut?
Wait.
What do you think of my
slow,
hair, honey?
Slow this down, guys. You're still on the air, man.
I know. Okay. Now, like I prefaced it, okay, I've never seen this with my wife. But what if she does? She has this bad haircut. She comes home and you go, oh my gosh. Inside you're thinking, wow, you're trying not to let it show on your face. And she says, what do you think of my hair?
Stop.
Are you going to be honest?
Do you really want to know?
That's really, really bad. You look like you stuck your finger in a socket. And
no.
You're not honest.
Well, you could be honest, but just in a humble and respectful manner. You know, I like that almost as much as one of your other haircuts a long time ago.
Oh, that's right? Pretty good.
Which one?
You're getting deeper.
Yeah, the other really one, yeah. That's where I need to reboot. Deeper boots because I'm getting in it.
How
you're get the boot.
Yeah.
How about if the wife puts on a dress, right?
Oh.
What do you think of my dress? I've always learned, I say things like, I better be careful. Hey, well, you looked the dress you had on last week just is so flattering. I love it.
What about this dress?
avoidance.
Or you can just absolutely be true and say, you know what? I know what you look like. I'm your husband. You look good in anything.
Oh, nice.
You look good in
and that's
everything.
That's true.
Okay,
to me,
good.
That's absolutely yeah. true. Have you? And it was on probably, I don't know, 10 or more years ago. There was this black and white of Abe Lincoln, Honest Abe. Mm-hmm. And I forget what the product even was. But Abe's wife, who's a well-endowed and large woman, tries on this dress. And she, do you think this dress makes me look fat? And Honest Abe's back there going, well,
yes.
do you remember that? It was so funny. And she like whacks him or something. Honest Abe. So we got to be humble and respectful in how we present the truth.
How do you like it? What is that? And in the Shema, uh-huh. love your neighbor as
yourself.
Yeah, so I didn't like it when I knew I needed a haircut, right? Uh-huh. And my wife let me go out to speak to a majorly large group, all right? And I came back and I saw a picture of me.
Your hair pretty long?
Oh, it was terrible. And I said, why?
You let me go out like looking
thank
like that?
Thank you, yes. You're supposed to watch my back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
my wife tells me to... You need a haircut.
Okay,
really?
So why do we as men want just flat-out truth given to us, and maybe women don't? Or maybe I'm wrong about that.
Well, I wish they could call in.
Oh, hey, we have a text.
I happen to get a few texts, actually, from my wife, as you might suspect. Okay. Oh, here's Katie. She emailed in. Oh, good. I'm glad
what
you got
did Katie say?
Let's see. Katie says, thanks for talking about being PC today. I posted a picture I took of Trump last night onto my social media. I was so nervous, but I told myself to be strong and not let the masses drive my actions. So far, it's okay. But I've already had a few, quote, friends share their, quote, very open minds with me. It's been interesting. So thanks for talking about this topic today. Thanks, Katie. We really appreciate you writing in.
We need that input for sure.
But isn't that the case? I mean, people are even worried to put something out there. I actually lost a friend when I did post a picture of Trump as the new president.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to talk with me anymore. And I was going, wait a minute. How did this happen? Why are you so against this person?
I'm not against that kind of stuff. I'm just against the social media thing in general.
I know,
don't
right?
go on. They don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, right?
So much can be misconstrued. I'm going to post this thing. It's just in writing. It's this picture. You're going to offend somebody.
Oh, guaranteed.
But that's kind of the generation thing, too.
Yeah, but if we don't stand up, like take, for instance, why weren't people standing up against Hitler in 1933 when they could have stopped him?
Yeah.
Okay? And there was other candidates that were following the law. He didn't want to follow the law of Germany.
Did he tickle their ears, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to say, well, the left wants to look at Trump and go, well, he's Hitler. Really? I don't recall him shutting your free speech down.
Yeah. Or restricting your guns.
Yeah.
Yes,
but
exactly.
The left wants to stop my free speech.
They do want to stop it.
Just stop it.
It's the Gestapo.
Stop now.
You caught on to that, eh?
That was sweet.
Sweet.
I got to fix my dentures. I'm glad we can have fun. And
life's too short.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, hey, 12 hours from now, we'll have an idea.
Really?
Think
maybe.
So. Hopefully.
Yeah, and we need to be prayerfully thankful that Yahweh's in control no matter the outcome. But let's get out there and help the outcome be towards a biblical result.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that's what we need to drive on back to, is that there is a larger kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And just like we read in Matthew, is that the Lord tells us, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself.
Yep.
If he's in charge, and if he sets the rulers up, I'm going to do my best to be, what, accountable? What did you use from Genesis?
Starts with an R.
I know.
Not reckless. Not reconcile.
Required of us.
Required? I think that might be
reckoned.
Reckoned. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to still be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to be whatever system that I've been born into. I'm still part of that system. Mm-hmm. I need to use what's there.
You don't like it? Go somewhere else.
Well, but if we remember to seek ye first.
Yeah. The kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, thus, and so these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah. We won't quit our day jobs.
I love it. Yeah, I think we need to keep that freshly in our minds, even during the voting procedures.
Yes, and not get cynical. And my vote does not mean a difference anyway. It does. Mm-hmm. Every little vote. If 10 million people say that,
then we don't have 10 million votes.
There you go. So that's what Hillary said. All you people, all you conservatives, just stay home on election day. That's what she said. That was a quote from her. So you know,
how'd that work out?
Not well.
What is a conservative? I think, you know, many times we misconstrue that. Conservative people believe in the rule of law.
Yeah.
Conservative believe in financial responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives usually believe in the sanctity of life. So three things. It's in their platform. It's written. That's a conservative.
Well, they're also conservatives because they don't speak up a lot, and they need to speak up more.
That's true. They don't like to be hassled.
Well, nobody likes to be challenged, do they?
Yeah.
But maybe we need to be.
You mean actually know what the law says and know what your Bible says?
Know what we believe.
And then you know what's fascinating about knowing things is that because you know something, you can actually be quiet. Because it gives you a sense of self-assurance of knowing.
Blessed assurance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you can actually hear somebody and listen to them knowing what you know.
Yeah, you don't have to – you really don't have to prove our point. We just have to really truly know what you believe. And if they ask you why you believe that,
mm-hmm.
be ready to give
an answer,
a testimony mm-hmm. of what you know to be true.
Yeah, so I think based on what we've talked about today, I've got three words summary.
What do you have?
Study, pray, act.
Three good.
Well, that's awfully good advice.
Yeah.
Just want to be succinct here.
Study, pray, act.
Yeah. Study, pray, and act. Tap your heels three times and you go back to home.
See?
There's no place like home.
There's no place like home.
And home for us is eternity.
And
we're going to be going there.
And on my three words, act justly. Love mercy and walk humbly mm-hmm. today. All we have is today, so if we just do it today, walk justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our King today.
That was more than three words. Okay. But I like them. I like them a lot.
Three. Go ahead, Ron.
I'm a small drop of water in a great big lake.
Yes.
My life on earth is short. What will I do with it?
Ooh, today.
I like the story
starting
narrative.
Today.
Yeah. What will I do? Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
And, you know, if I remain silent, what good am I? If I'm just one drop, I mean, if it takes, there's a
one
lot
drop
of drops.
In a huge pool.
Mm-hmm. Still, what am I going to do? Because my life's not huge important. What is important is Yahweh's kingdom.
Amen.
That's important. But what do I do with this short life that he gave me, this little vessel that I have that he said, here, use it? What do I do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Pray, study, and
say, Father, we are available today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are available. Whatever you need us to do.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Help me fulfill my mission.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So get plugged in. Vote. Today is the last day before, I think, 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
Okay. So get in there. Do your part. It's necessary. And then tune in each week. We love hearing from you, and I know we haven't been real good at hearing your side of things.
It's gonna get better though, I believe, as time goes.
The number three,
wiseguys@hebrewnation.net.
You got it, and that's how you get a hold of us. And you're gonna write in and say, hey, we really like that topic, or we would like a different topic, or would you please cover this?
Yeah,
and can we talk about this? You know, it's everyone doesn't want to, but I want to. You know, mm-hmm. so let's do it.
Mm-hmm. And that's every Tuesday morning, Pacific, 8 to 10.
8 to 10 Pacific
on HebrewNationOnline.net.
Yeah, and if you go there, you can look up past recordings. And there's
you get the podcasts.
There's other teachers there, too, that have been doing things. And
does that phone number radio thing still work?
Should work.
Yeah. Do you got it with you?
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah, because it's really important, I think, to share with friends and say, hey, you know, listen up.
605-562-9746. Love you guys.
Darkness must flee from the living word. His light now shines, the darkness. darkness must flee.